Hey, what's up, everyone? How are you? I am Ben Gissel with Henry Zebrowski.
Hello.
Thank you all so much for giving to our Patreon. We really appreciate it. Without you, none of our show is possible. And once again, we have an incredible guest. He is the director for the National UFO Reporting Center. Mr. Davenport is joining us. Thank you so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, gentlemen. And I'm indebted to you for your interest in the subject of UFOs. It's become my life, and I'm pleased to talk about it on a program like this.
Absolutely.
I am excited for it to also become my life.
Yeah.
This is obviously, I've been obsessed with UFOs. I feel like after a while, you're made fun of so much for talking about UFOs that it's difficult to, it's nice to be with people that understand an interest in a subject like this.
Yeah, and I
couldn't agree more, Henry.
I'm fascinated to hear the conversation you guys have also. So we were talking a little bit before we started recording. You were discussing how or why this UFO phenomenon, why this research is currently so unbelievably important.
Yeah, that's a good question. And my opinion is it's taking place that we have visitors to our planet. If that's the case, I would argue that it's the most important scientific question that's ever been put before man. Namely, are we alone in this galaxy or are we not?
Right.
From my vantage point as director of the National UFO Reporting Center, clearly we are not. We have guests on a routine basis, is my opinion, and I'll express that same opinion in virtually any venue.
Now, at the National UFO Reporting Center, what is that in difference between like MUFON, that organization, or what Project Blue Book was back in the day? Like, people call you with sightings, and then do you guys go to investigate, or do you guys just log sightings?
We log and publish sightings. That's the principal difference between us and MUFON. I'm sitting here in my chair in front of the National UFO Reporting Center that amounts to a table, a computer, a tape recorder, and a couple of telephones. That's it, gentlemen. That's
yes, awesome. I understand. This is how we run a podcast network. It is literally two computers and four microphones.
Yep. So yeah. I'm interested to hear what, for you, makes a sighting valid? When people report, I'm sure you get some that you're like, oh, that's probably an airplane or whatever. What makes a sighting valid for you? What are you looking for when people submit their sightings?
Yeah, good question. Usually, the most convincing reports have multiple independent witnesses. There's oftentimes some kind of evidence, like a photograph or audio or video or radar from the FAA. There are any number of things that can enhance the credibility of a report. Mm. But I would say, most of all, multiple witnesses reporting the same thing.
Mm.
That's what I like to see.
A group sighting is very interesting. Kind of like we just did a series on the Hudson Valley Triangle, and the idea of hundreds of people seeing an object in the sky, I think, is very heartening to the world of the believer of the UFO, because you have a bunch of people and like cops pulling over to the side of the road and seeing these objects and willing to come out and say we've seen them, even though a lot of times they'll get ridicule from their buddies. Which is the hardest part about this subject, right?
Yeah, and to Henry's point, it's interesting. It seems to be a real subsect of society, whether it be police officers to janitors to stay-at-home moms to truck drivers. Do you find a pattern in people that tend to see these sightings, or is it just really everywhere? It's a good cross sample of society.
Yeah, people ask me that question all the time, Ben. Do I see patterns, geographical or temporal patterns? And the usual answer I give is no, I don't see any, but it could be because I don't have the time and the resource to analyze the data as thoroughly as could be the case. But there, with regard to the witnesses, we get reports, you're correct, from all sorts of people, police officers, university professors, military officers, enlisted personnel, all sorts of people see UFOs. UFOs don't seem to care what the category of witness is that sees them when they fly over or land. So
how do you feel about the abduction scenario? Like, people who believe that they've been abducted and people that have had experiences either meeting ETs or anything sort of like high strangeness?
Yeah, we get those cases rarely, but on a continuing basis, and I'm convinced that I prefer the term interaction. Most people cite abduction, but that suggests it's a kidnapping type event. Mm. I prefer the term interaction because we really don't fully know yet what's going on.
Hmm. Well, except when it sounds like where I get into a whole other world of abduction research where it actually sounds akin to sexual assault. It sounds like they are taken up into a space, and a lot of times they have either been, especially with women having their eggs taken, if it's true that there's a hybrid program with the Greys, with men getting samples of their semen taken from them against their will. Like, that's the kind of stuff we're heads into. Like, are you just filtering personal trauma into the world of aliens, or are you actually having what you would say is an interaction?
Yeah, I wish I could answer that question, but I can't. I don't know what's going on. I'm still in the dark as to what's taking place. There are a lot of people who claim they've been abducted. I am skeptical. I was born in Missouri, the Show Me State, 70 years ago, and consequently, before I believe anything, I've got to see some evidence.
Got it.
Right.
I'm very similar to Stan Friedman in that respect. I enjoyed his comments along those lines. The only thing that counts for me is evidence, not claims, not assertions, and so on. But that, nevertheless, it appears the abduction or interaction phenomenon appears to be taking place. I would cite the case of Travis Walton.
Yes.
Very well-known abductee. November 5th, 1975, he was shot by a bolt of light before six witnesses and rendered him unconscious or possibly dead. I've talked to him on that point, and he accepts the point that he might have been killed and resurrected to life.
Wow.
That's a very, very tall statement. I don't fail to recognize that. Has some very interesting religious overtones as well.
Right.
Absolutely. But then you also wonder, we covered the Travis Walton story not that long ago, and it does have a religious overtone. And then you get into the concept of, have these experiences influenced humankind since the very beginning? And is it a part of the original reasons why we became super religious? Are these entities, these things that come to visit us, is that the model of God and angels and devils and leprechauns?
Yeah, it has me overstepping my data, but it appears to me that there is a larger reality outside the domain that is detected by our five senses. There are things that happen around us that we're not aware of, and we're only just now, like electricity, we're only just now beginning to understand it and be able to investigate it.
Yeah, I'm interested, for more of a practical perspective, because that's kind of, I'm more of a practical person. We have a situation where the administration that's currently in office has just proposed something called a space force, literally sending people up to space, a sixth branch of
as
the government.
As long as it has good costumes, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, we have the footage coming from the Navy pilot back in 04 that was just released a couple of months ago. That really show, like, what the heck is that? Do you give a lot of hope to finding real significant evidence in the very near future because of our technological abilities now to record and all that?
Yeah, what I'd direct you to is my paper on the use of passive radar for detecting UFOs. For example, I can summarize it briefly. As we are talking, presumably somewhere, this program is going out over an antenna that's radiating electromagnetic radiation or radio waves out into space. Well, if something is above that antenna, it might reflect those radio waves back down to Earth, and we can construct a passive radar system with four antennas that receive those reflected signals and tell us if something is up there, and describe how it's moving or whether it's stationary, how high it is, and so on. I've been arguing this for now 23 years. We can detect UFOs directly, given the advances that have been made in computer science and the global positioning system. Mm-hmm. And I've proposed this project in a number of articles and in a paper I've written But unfortunately, very few people seem to have taken notice.
Is it because of government pushback? Like, is it because of the fact that maybe one of the origins for some unidentified flying objects is that they are highly experimental U.S. Air Force or Navy flight machinery? It's fucking planes in the sky, and that they don't want people to know that it's up there.
Possibility, but I don't think that's the case. The UFO phenomenon goes back at least to the 19th century, and we can push it back hundreds or perhaps thousands of years before, further back than that. The interesting thing that UFO investigators are looking at is now cave paintings that are so reminiscent of alien-human interaction that it makes one wonder how long this phenomenon has been taking place.
Right.
Forever. It seems like it's been happening for a long time. We've at least been imagining things coming from the sky.
Right.
For you, sir, so what's like the most difficult part about getting all of this information together? Like, now that you have a resource, like this whole resource of data, and you have it, so what do you do with it now? Like, is this just supposed to be for public, sort of like you could go through and read all these cases and it's for interest, or is there a ulterior thing of creating an idea of patterns of sightings? And what's the hardest part about getting nailing a sighting down to its essential details so that you can report on it?
You can never be absolutely sure whether a report is true or not. Mm-hmm. People often cite that when talking about UFOs, but I would counter by saying, well, the same thing is true in law and in business and in education, in newspaper work. If somebody tells you something, is it true or not?
Right.
Well, you can flip a coin or you can investigate until you're more satisfied whether it is a legitimate report or not. But going back to your original question, Henry, the most difficult thing I find is getting people just to report what they've seen. Here's a factoid that you might find a bit surprising. After 24 years of doing this, serving as director of the UFO Center, it is my estimate that out of 20,000 adult, competent, truth-speaking, clear-minded Americans who see a UFO, only one of them will ever come forward and try to report it to a UFO authority like the National UFO Reporting Center. The biggest problem, therefore, is getting people to report it. And the big hurdle as well, even if they call the hotline and assert that they've seen a UFO, trying to get an American to write a clear, grammatically correct, detailed statement of what they saw is one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, because I imagine it's a lot of people going like, I saw it was a circle that was like, it was waving, and me and my girlfriend was so confused. And you should be like, sir, please, just tell me what you saw.
I'm a scientist. I'm trained as a scientist. I think like a scientist.
Right.
I work like a scientist. And a lot of people are not that type. They're emotional. They want to tell you the whole story. I think I'm one of the few people on the planet who understand why the monkey house at the zoos is often the loudest place in the zoo park. It's because people like to talk. They like their 15 minutes of fame and
right
in public. But that doesn't count. The only, from my vantage point, and I may have a strong bias on this, I've made a lot of enemies on this point, the only kind of report that counts is a detailed, written report with all the facts in it. It's
right.
Like Sergeant Friday, just the facts, ma'am.
I love Dragnet. Well, that's the interesting thing. Can you do, because a lot of people try to debunk people who are into UFOs as, you know, quacks. For the longest time, they've been sort of on the
fringe. Is this a subtweet? Is you coming?
No.
You're coming at me? You're attacking
me?
No,
I am not. But it does seem like, you know, speaking with you, Mr. Davenport, and Mr. Friedman, that you are very skeptical of the information you're receiving. Is there anything you want to say when it comes to people who are immediately throwing out anyone who follows UFO information as like sort of quacks or pseudoscience? What do you want to tell those people as far as your skepticism and your process and to figuring out what's true and not?
Yeah. Well, I'm a hard person to convince. If somebody calls me and says a UFO landed in their backyard, the first question I ask is, did you get a photo? Is there a burn mark in the grass that I can see with my own eyes or with a photograph? Have you talked to your neighbors? Have you called the press to see if anybody else saw it? And so on and so on and so on. So one of the things that Stan Friedman frequently says, I notice he didn't say it in his interview with you gentlemen recently, is talking about evidence. You've got to get the evidence in order to have the story right. And he's as about as skeptical as I am, I think. I've heard a lot of stories over the hotline. Some of them I believe. Most of them I do not. More recently, over the last 8 months, we've been just inundated with prank calls, for example, from young people, the result of a YouTube video that is encouraging young people to call our hotline and just make themselves miserable. They've done a very good job at it. I wish they were as good at reporting UFOs as they are at making themselves obnoxious.
Yeah.
Evidence is the most important thing. And with regard to your question, I'm rambling here a little, Ben.
Well, it just seems to me, I just wanted to debunk the idea that people who are into UFOs or researching this, I think that you're more skeptical than a lot of other people in our community. And I think that point should be stressed. That's all I was trying to say.
I appreciate it. That's a backhanded or maybe even a direct compliment to a UFO investigator. But my response to people who are skeptical is, have you looked at the data? Have you looked at the multiple reports for the Phoenix Lights event, March 13th, 1997? Have you read the report from the pilot over Providence, Rhode Island, who had an object go right by his aircraft, reverse its course, and track him for several minutes? All of this is on radar. All of this I have the audio exchange between the aircraft commander and the FAA Air Traffic Control Center. That's my question to those skeptics is, have you looked at the data? More often than not, they have not.
On your website, what I'd love to see, because that's a question I get all the time, of people say, like, well, we're in the world of smartphones. Why is there less footage than ever before of UFOs? Why is it not just constant? And it seems like there is, but no one really watches it. Because if I know I go on YouTube, I listen to Coast to Coast, I hear your UFO update, like I go nights, it's like, so I'm a person that I'm well aware of that there's content around. Do you ever think about maybe on the website for the National UFO Reporting Center having more of the actual physical pictures and videos that you have archived?
Yeah, I would like to do that, and we intend to do that. The website currently focuses on reading reports,
right,
and a lot of people like visual.
We do.
My problem is, at the end of the day, I just run out of time.
Oh, of course.
I work or am on call 2 shifts a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
Jesus. We got to get something to work with you. Someone should be there working with you.
They should. There are a few problems with that situation, though, and that is the database. If you have somebody working with you who's working with the database, there's always the possibility that a copy of that database will disappear. If
right.
they published all the names of people who've contacted the hotline, we guarantee anonymity to anybody who contacts us.
Well, what I would say is, honestly, we get some like sodium pentothal. We get somebody broken down emotionally and mentally to do this job correctly.
You want to do an MK Ultra type plan to get people to go work,
break their personality down so they know they can't flip on us. I mean, I would do it, but I feel like I would be a better supervisor. I'm not very good with attention to details.
Right.
I'm a comedian who smokes too much marijuana to be to be on the ball for that Excel.
Be perfect as a UFO investigator, Henry.
Well, that's his ultimate goal. Mr. Davenport, I got to ask a little bit of a larger question, I guess. Some people believe, the premise is basically, what do you think the outcome would be if UFOs were discovered officially, mainstream idea, everyone knows they're here, we have the War of the Worlds idea, where it's nothing but chaos and violence, but then you have the other alternative idea, which immediate world peace. What do you think would be the outcome if aliens were officially discovered mainstream idea, mainstream thought, mainstream knowledge?
I don't know what the outcome would be. I'm a little concerned about that. We have to allow for the fact that aliens look pretty strange to the average human being, and it could evoke panic, global panic even, mm-hmm. if they were to land and show themselves overtly. So we've got to be a little bit careful with that. And I give the government just a little bit of credibility on that point. They may know something about our future and about the UFO phenomenon that they are trying to their level best to protect us from. So I criticize the government often for their apparent refusal to come clean on the UFO phenomenon, but I nevertheless recognize there could be a lot of reason for that. One is these species of alien could have a type of bacteria that could wipe out the human race in a long weekend. So we've got to be very careful. We don't know what we're dealing with. It's like walking in the dark. Every step has to be measured and has to be very careful.
Right.
So I, a frequent critic of the U.S. government and other governments.
Right.
But the U.S. government is the principal one that has taken apparently the hard and fast position. They're not going to share this information with their constituents.
Interesting.
Have you thought, do you believe that the government, as that it has gone so far, that the government has either worked with aliens who have gotten technology from aliens, or that they have taken crashed saucers or crashed stuff like material from aliens and have like retro-built it back into technology?
Yeah, there are two questions there. One, let's deal with the crashed saucer phenomenon. I am satisfied that the U.S. government has almost certainly collected fragments from crashed saucers. The Roswell, the other case in New Mexico in March of 1948, the evidence appears to me to be very good. The other question is dealing with aliens. I don't know, but it is clearly something that a major country would want to do, principally because of the national defense issue. Mm-hmm. If a UFO touches down out on the outskirts of Ouagadougou in North Volta, Africa, it could give that country a superior position vis-a-vis defense technology.
Right.
So obviously other people have recognized this, and they would want to make sure that technology ended up in more or less responsible hands and not in the hands of Hitler or a Genghis Khan, if
right.
you will.
That makes a lot of sense.
And that's why they do say, like, the new war, you know, is AI and things like that. Do you find any, as far as, like, the AI connection with the UFOs, what's more, for me, I'm much more horrified of robots than aliens.
I don't know, man. I don't know which one you should be more afraid of. To be honest, I like the AIs because they'll take care of us for a while and then they'll put us in parks. Like, I like what Ray Kurzweil was saying, is that they'll put us in like a museum of our ancestors, and they'll come and they'll watch us and we'll be able to just sit and like cook on barbecues.
It's a police state. You're describing a police state.
You mean no, but not having to worry about a job anymore.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Just as we talk about Cro-Magnon man, they will talk about human beings of the 21st century.
Eventually, it will happen. Sir, before we get off here, what is your favorite sighting? Like, to you, what was the sighting that most sticks in your mind that is like, this is evidence, and it either inspires hope or fear?
Yeah, it's the one I've mentioned already, the Phoenix Lights event, March 13th, 1997. The objects that coursed over the city of Phoenix and surrounding communities and neighboring states were up to 8 miles in width.
Wow.
From wingtip to wingtip. And I know both of you gentlemen probably still study trigonometry, but...
Yes. Oh, yes.
I did a horrible job at it, but yeah.
Sure, you're up to date on it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
One of the objects was intercepted by two U.S. Air Force F-15s, And the pilots reported to their ground crew that the objects were 9,000 feet above ground level at the time of the intercept. At that same moment, people were on the ground, and they estimated that the object above their head subtended an arc of about 135 degrees, more than a third of a circle. If you use those two facts, and those are sufficient to do the calculation, you come up with a figure of 8.23 miles from wingtip to wingtip.
Damn.
The lead pilot of the lead F-15 in that intercept corroborated that. He said the object he was intercepting, he reported this to his ground crew when he landed. He could not get out of his cockpit, by the way. He had to be helped out of his cockpit for reasons we don't understand. But he reported that the object extended from his 9 o'clock position off to his left all the way in front of his aircraft to his 3 o'clock position. That's a big object. Even the governor of the state, Governor Fife Symington, saw one of those objects above Phoenix, and he later admitted 10 years later that he had seen it, but he had kept quiet for 10 years. Somebody got to him and kept him quiet.
He did that joking. Did you see the joking press conference he did where he had the guy? He's like, we got the culprit from the lights. And then it was a guy in a gray costume comes out and he puts handcuffs on him. And they made it a big joke.
Yep. Made me see red.
Yeah,
they
of
were making light of a very, very serious and important event that occurred above his state, and he lied to his constituents.
Yes, absolutely. But that's what they do, and they still do that. They just sort of laugh at it, and they make it seem so ludicrous that anyone could believe this, that no one wants to say that they saw anything, going back to your earlier point about people being hesitant to come forward.
They also did a the story with that is trying to say that it was some kind of experimental government plane, which is like an 8 mile long plane, which I don't think exists.
No, I mean, it's
how would you build a hangar for that?
I don't know, wherever Louis Anderson's new home's going to be. I mean, that's a funny joke about its weight, but
no, but it's also if that is the case, that's to me almost more horrifying. If it is the government space, if it is a government spacecraft.
And to take it one step further, you gentlemen may not be aware that within seconds of that intercept by the U.S. Air Force, U.S. military and intelligence forces were elevated from a Defense Condition 5 to DEFCON 3. And at that moment, President Clinton, who had flown earlier that day down from Washington, D.C. down to Florida to go golfing with the Australian golfer Greg Norman, that is the instant that President William Jefferson Clinton injured his knee, allegedly. And my suspicion is that the President of the United States either was injured as an indirect result of the Phoenix Lights event, or alternatively, his alleged injury was a ruse in order to cover the reason that he had to suddenly be moved from the home of Greg Norman in either Orlando or Miami, I'm not sure which. And so we have a situation in which it is a possibility that a president of the United States was injured as the result of a UFO event, a very dramatic one in that.
Wow,
very
crazy.
Interesting.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Mr. Davenport. Again, the director of the National UFO Reporting Center. Where can people, is there a phone number or email that you could give our audience so if they have seen anything, they can reach out to you?
If they've seen a UFO within the last week, they can call the hotline. We've had that same number for 44 years. It is area code 206-722-3000, 206-722-3000. And our website is just ufocenter.com, where we have an online report form. Anybody who's ever seen a UFO in his or her lifetime, we would like them to record that event and submit a detailed written report.
Very cool.
Now, one other question, but real quick. What's George Norrie like in person? Do you guys get to go have dinner together? Do you ever go back by his house or anything? He seems to be a very private man.
I think I've met with him only on a couple of occasions. We've never had dinner before, but he's fun to work with. He's very generous with his airtime. He's been a prince to me.
He's got a good head of hair, I'll tell you what.
He sure does, and a good singing voice.
Does he have albums?
I don't know if he has an album. That's a good question. I'll ask him next time I talk to him.
Awesome.
Please do. Tell him that we say hello. We're huge fans of Coast to Coast AM.
Okay, I will do that, gentlemen.
Thank you so much, Mr. Davenport.
Live from your grave.
All right. Well, that was thank you all so much for giving to the Patreon. That was Mr. Davenport. No idea what the first name is. Peter Davenport. You know what? No. He's the kind of guy, though. He likes the mister. I could tell. And he seems like Mr. Davenport.
He works incredibly hard. He's a scientist. He sits alone in that booth. You heard him.
Yeah, I know.
Just with the computer, manning the phones, doing two shifts a week, waiting for the UFO reports to come in. He needs another employee.
He does. And I think
somebody's got to get Travis. Travis should do it.
Travis, we want to rent out Travis?
Travis, you'd go to New Hampshire. Where is this? Is it New Hampshire? It's in what's the area code 206? Yeah, no, it's Davenport, Washington. It's in Washington. You could go and do that. Come on, let's get, Travis, you can go help him. No. You won't release the names of the people.
I'd sell him down the river in an instant for, $6,000.
Oh, all right. Well, untrustworthy
shit.
Travis Morningstar. Interesting to know.
Okay. Interesting. He's got a price.
A very specific price and immediately knew it.
It's a low price,
yeah,
Travis.
Pretty low, $6,000. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for giving to our Patreon. Hail yourselves. We love you.
Hail Satan, thank you. Triple L, as we're saying on the side stories.
I don't... Magoostalations.
Triple...
laughter, love, live.
And laughter, love, and live. Or live, love, and learn.
I don't
fucking know.
It's very The Secret.